Okay, just as an introductory word for our message today, turn to Psalm 119 to get you to be thinking about our theme, Psalm 119, in verse 9. How are you today? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. You made a great decision to come and listen. I was in Chicago area yesterday and the day before, and in our meeting on Friday night, four people from Baltimore were in our Chicago meeting. Why? They were on their way to South Dakota. So we had a very good time there with Pastor Jack Wheatley in the church, and this thought was part of my meditation for the weekend, and it's 119 in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? Anybody know teenagers or young men, young adults who have developed bad habits, have made wrong decisions, have maybe done bad things, and they don't know how they could ever change? Does anybody know of a young lady, or you can keep the hand, don't raise your hands. Okay. How about 40, 50-year-old people who have also struggled with bad habits and thought patterns that I just don't change them, or I don't even think of changing them? Well, how could a real change happen? First, a new birth, to be born of the Spirit, to have the nature of Christ born in us. And Jesus talked about we must be born again. This he spoke of a spiritual birth. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. And he describes the difference this way, that you don't know, like wind. Wind is also another word for spirit. It's air, also pneuma, air. Pneumatic tire is a tire that works by air. So pneuma is a word for spirit. And he said, you don't know when the wind is blowing where it really is coming from, and you don't know really where it's going, but you see the effect or feel it on your face, or your hair is blowing that way, or the trees are bending in this direction. And he said that to Nicodemus, you have your birth, natural birth, but you must be born of the Spirit, born of God, for God is Spirit. We have a new heart and a new spirit, so this is the first thing for a person to get cleaned up or to change. And then the follow-up part is, this is the important thing here for what we want to say. If, verse 9, if he can take heed according to your word. Pay attention to your word. It will change you. How could a young man change his way? He's locked in. But if he can pay attention to, relate to it, embrace it, believe it, obey it, honor it, take heed to it, to the word, then the change happens. And he's cleansed. The word cleansing is important because in the Jewish people, in their religion, being clean was very important. They ate clean animals, they washed, they were clean by the blood from their sin, and then washed by the water of the word. Ephesians 5:26, And Christ said to the disciples, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. This is something we love and enjoy, that the Bible, the thoughts of the Bible, the word that I embrace in my heart, I want to hear it and believe it and embrace it, and it'll cleanse me. Cleanse me. Now, when a Jewish priest went into the tabernacle, he first stopped at the laver and he washed his hands and cleansed himself. And we have in our life this book that is cleansing. This cleanses our thoughts, and we start to think other thoughts. Not hatred, but love, patience. A young man desiring a woman, wouldn't it be amazing that he would have a new desire? It's not a woman. He's desiring God. I never desired God before, but now I desire God. I'm looking for God. Wouldn't that be amazing? That I actually could be changed so radically from my own appetites to something else, and it's real. It's not law, but it's the Spirit of God and the love of God and the relationship with God. How can a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed to his word. For it says in the beginning of the Bible, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. That same principle is in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, for the light shines out of darkness. That was in the beginning. There was no light. God spoke, let there be light. And it says then, and that light shines in your hearts. The light from God shines in there. Where did it come from? God spoke, let there be light in my heart. And there was light. And I loved or worshiped. Now, God, is that real? It is. So that's our theme today, and we'll have a good time in that. So we'll do the offering now, or Pastor Eugene, is that your job? Pastor Eugene does a good job ministering to us. All right, turn to Isaiah 55. You may be seated. Isaiah 55, and a very critical verse for us as born-again believers. We understand something that is not always understood by people. And it is verse 8, 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So that verse is very profound, isn't it? My thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts. So this morning, in the beginning of the message, we're going to end well in our message regarding God's grace, the new birth, and a changed life. Good to see Bob Soprano here. Thank you, Bob, for being, and your wife, Laurel. Great. Is my God's mind in my mind, and the message is really going beyond what our society and our social norms of being good and nice people is part of life. But if you go deeper and we understand God's mind, he has real issues with us. He has real issues, and it can be said this way. My thoughts are not yours. I have an issue with that. That's a problem. My thoughts and your thoughts. how you think and how you live is different from me and the way I think and the way I live in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was here, his mind and his words, I've got three things here. This is really very structural and simple. Thoughts of people. Next is words of people and actions of people. Sinful living is not simply a thing of action, nor is it simply a thing of words, but sinful living is this one, thoughts. My thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. How do you think? Many people live and think just simply by nature, by simply what they are taught, what they learn, what they listen to, and what they process from their own hearts. And this is a problem. It's a problem not only in the beginning where my thoughts lead to words and then I have action, but it's really how many times people live a miserable life. Many times we could say that people are not satisfied, that they live a miserable life in many ways. They are not satisfied. They are not fulfilled. There's always something missing, always something to complain about, always somebody else hurt them, always. There's always something. What is that? What is that? So what is that? So this is the beginning of our message. I'm going to speak about sin. And we'll go to the book of Romans, which is the primary, the gold standard, maybe we could say, the primary message for the human race is really the book of Romans. It was written to the church in Rome, which of course was a meeting of worlds, philosophy and religion, a meeting of paganism and civilization, a meeting of Gentile. When we say pagans, we have different ideas. One, educated pagans like Plato and Aristotle, Socrates, Greek philosophy. Paganism, without Christ, without God, then you have the uneducated, and then you have Jewish people in Rome. Paul, when he writes to the Romans, he wants to make a very important demarcation that all people, everywhere, everyone, everybody, all of us are essentially wrong. We are wrong. Well, what about the Jew? Romans chapter 3 is where he's making the conclusion. He is saying, what profit does a Jew have? Is a Jew a righteous person? And he says, no, they are not. What do they have? They have the scripture. But that's all. They don't go to heaven by being a Jew. They are not righteous people. No, there is no one righteous. Nobody. God's great big X-ray machine on the human heart. And there are different ways of expressing that to us. But let's go to the text. It's Romans 3, and these are verses 10 to 18. It's the summary of Paul's primary argument that the human race is essentially wrong. Now let me make something clear here. I was knocking on doors here in Baltimore many years ago. The woman said, I'm not like my neighbors. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm not like my neighbors. Okay, so, and how did I answer her? I've said, you're a good person. Probably you are. a good person, in the sense that police don't know your name, or your neighbors say you are a good person. But what does God say about you? Who are you? What does God say? Many of us would agree, okay, yes, we are sinners. But we've got to go deeper and realize this, that everyone, doesn't matter if you are a rabbi, a pope, a pastor, a priest, a good man, a professional man, an educated man, a moral man, a famous man, there is no one that is righteous. Your thoughts are not mine. This is a universal, general statement that applies to every human being. There is none righteous. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, now, this text is very descriptive, and it would take a long time to really do it justice, but I want to get to the point here and then bring you to something amazing, and it's the new birth and what it means and how we live now, how it changes our life, what it means to be born of God. So let's go to the text, Romans 3:10, as it is written, he's saying regarding Jewish people, are they any better? Answer, no. Let's put in there, anybody, any professional, moral, decent, good decision-making, nice person that you get along with, he's a fantastic person. No, he's not righteous. I don't like that. Well, yeah, maybe this text will help you, because we need this. You see, I won't know how great the gospel is until I realize how bad I am. I don't realize what amazing it is that Christ came until I realize how bad I am. How bad I am. How wrong I am. We are so artificial, and we are so simple, and very much prone to being deceived and misled. Go to verse 10, please, which finally get there. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He's quoting from the Old Testament. The best way to speak to Jews is to quote from their Bible. And the best way to speak to Christians is to quote from the Bible. And the best way to preach and to share with pagans or atheists or anyone else is as well using the Bible as a reference. I did it in Chicago yesterday, and the man was saying, you know, why do you think the way you think? I said, because I fear God. There is silence. I fear God. It's like a new statement. It's not commonly heard in our culture. Fear God. There is no fear of God in the eyes of a sinner. He is not fearing God. It's written here. He does not fear God. That's the beginning of the whole thing. The beginning of a new life, how a man is changed. You might say, I don't want to change. Then you or I, we die in our sin. We die in our sin, in our miserable self, in our pride and arrogance, in our own way. We die in our sin. I don't want to change. We're not saying you have to change like artificially. We're saying you must be born again, because you don't know how wrong you are. But this might help. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. There's none who understands. Understanding. What? Understand what? My thoughts are not his thoughts. I don't understand that. My thoughts, I'm very happy with my thoughts. I did very well in school, you know, somebody could say. I've got life figured out, I know. I know what I'm doing. I'm very good at it. I'm paid well. I'm up there. I'm high. I got it. I'm a high quality person. Yeah, but you don't understand. You're living on a planet that's being protected by God. This planet is protected by God. They say if one of these stars burned out, the energy emitted would dry up all our oceans. They'd be dried up in a minute. The amount of energy that is in this universe that could destroy our planet is protected by God. Our life, if you are vertical, that's a gift of God. If you think a thought, if you can hear my voice, that's a gift of God. And if you have any desire for God's reality, then you need to understand this. I don't understand. You are a sinner, and so am I. And in our sin nature, we do not understand. We don't understand. Oh, yeah, oh, we can plant a garden or raise a child or have a dog or have a job or drive a car or have an iPhone. Yeah, those things, yeah, we understand. But you don't, you and I, we don't get it. We don't know the whole, we don't realize how wrong we are. What it is to be a sinner. And you know, when the sin was committed in the beginning of the Bible, Adam went and hid himself, and he's been hiding ever since. I don't want the accountability. I don't want to be answerable to God who made me. God said it this way to the Jewish people. He said, "The ox knows his master." The ox, isn't that interesting? A farm animal knows his master. And an ass, his master's crib, where he can eat the hay, he knows that. But my people do not know me. A fish knows where to swim. A bird knows where to fly. An animal knows where to survive, how to find food. But human beings don't know God. And they don't seek God. And they don't find God. And they don't know God. And they don't understand God. That's the way it is. Amazing, isn't it? Go to the next verse, please. Verse 11. There is none who seeks after God. Maybe people seek God this way. Maybe they seek him for their sake. Maybe it's popular to seek God or in a religion, or maybe they seek, maybe behind I see God as a desire for notoriety or recognition, or I see God, maybe some people. And then there are people that are seeking him, but if they are, it's because God is drawing them to himself. John 6:44. Nobody can come to me except the Father draw him. And there are people that are drawn to God. They are wanting him. They are ready. They are under conviction. I was reading about revivals in Scotland, and this pastor was writing that there were 600 or 700 changed lives in a number of months, like 3 months' time. There were some hundreds of people that had changed lives, and they were very much affected by the Spirit of God in this area of Scotland. And we have heard about the Wales revival. That's another one in the 1905 or 1906, another moving of God. And we have seen it in our own ministry where some young men or a group of people, one by one, not knowing each other, were moved by the Spirit of God, and they just said, I met some at the door this morning. The young man was just saying to me, I want what you people have. This service touched me. I know I've been coming here a few times, but I can see it. I sense it. This is what he's saying. The Spirit of God, I'm like hungry. I'm hungry. Is a sinner hungry for God? A sinner is not hungry for God. He has his own appetites, his own desire, his own way, his own thoughts. It says in Proverbs, if you commit, how does it go? It goes, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will direct your paths. Here's a little, watch this. Here's a man, and he has God, and he commits to God, and what does God do? God directs his thoughts. So God directs his thoughts, right? So that's amazing. Why do I think about this? God is giving me the thoughts. He's directing my thoughts. Why is he doing that? Because I've committed it to him. I brought him into my life. I've committed my ways to the Lord, and now he's directing my thoughts and actually getting it done. I'm actually getting it done. He's helping me in my thinking. It's actually happening. Like, I'm actually enjoying my life. God is in my life directing my thoughts. All right, now, this is a new birth. This is a new man. This is the grace of God. But change it. And man doesn't have God, so what does he do? He commits his works, really, to himself. He commits his work to himself, and it's about himself. And his life is like that. I'm going to get a new car. I'm getting a new car. It starts with me. I am getting a new car. I commit my... It's to me. It's me. I'm getting a new car. Don't you know? Listen to me. I'm getting a new car. Okay, so what do I have? My thoughts, my ways, my life. Now it doesn't work out, so I lie. I lie a little bit. Because I got to get a new car. And then that doesn't work out, maybe, and I do something else. What am I doing? I am living my life as a sinner. I am learning how to live and get my stuff done. But it's really committed unto me. It's from me, through me, and it's for me. I'm living as a sinner. So we know this. Because we've done it. It's normal. It's natural. It's how the world operates. The world is operating by sinners that are living their lives their way. And they don't see God. They don't understand God, and they don't want God. They don't understand him, and they don't want him, and they don't see any need of it because they can do it their way. Go to the next verse, please. Romans 3, verse 12. They have all gone out of the way. That's another way of saying they have gone down the wrong road. They have gone out of the right way, the way God would have for you, the new and living way. They have become unprofitable. The word unprofitable means useless. They become useless. Well, in which way? In the context of eternity, they are unprofitable. In the context of glorifying God, they are unprofitable. The picture I have in my mind of something unprofitable are these broken microwave ovens at the recycle state depot, or a Starbucks coffee cup thrown in the trash. Have you ever needed a cup for an emergency or something and gone in the trash, got a coffee cup, a dirty coffee stained Starbucks coffee cup and pulled it out and thought of using it. But your judgment was better than that, so you threw it back in. Maybe you've never done that. It's kind of nasty. I used paper coffee cup, isn't it? That's the meaning of this word, unprofitable. Your life, my life, as a sinner, has become unprofitable. Oh, no, 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 no. Haven't you seen our civilization? I go, yeah, I have seen it. I have seen it. Have you seen the misery? Have you seen the depression? Have you seen the problems? Have you seen the arrogance? Have you seen what the world is? Have you looked at it? Anytime I see a big corporation, you know what comes to my mind now, maybe because of my age, what comes to my mind is like, I wonder who died in the process of getting to the top of that organization. I wonder how many lies were told. I wonder how many people got ripped off. I wonder how many misrepresentations. I wonder how many hurting people. I wonder what it took in order for that corporation to really make it. You might say, oh no, Pastor, it's a lot better than that. This world is a lot better than that. It's like, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that because of this text. There's no one good, no, not one. They've gone away their own way. Look at chapter 3, verse 12, the end. There's none who does good. And that word good means, for the good is on the highest level, it means there is none that glorifies God. There's none that is actually living for the glory of God. Do they do good? Yes, for this diagram here, right up there on the screen, that one. I will do good because the good is actually a benefit for me, and I am good, and this is a... But is this got God in it at all? It's not about God. It's about a game. It's about an empty game. It's about survival. It's about this world. It's about my reputation. It's about what other people think of me. It's about me. I am good. It's about me. But the good that God is saying is there's none that does good as my son Jesus Christ. Where I looked for a man and I could not find any. But when I saw my son and he was baptized at the Jordan, a voice from heaven came, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am satisfied with his thoughts. His thoughts are my thoughts, for he is the word of God incarnated. And his words are my words, and his action is my action, and he glorifies me. He is in the world for my sake, to do my will. He is my son. This Son of God has come into the sinner's life." Wow, me a sinner, given the Son of God. So the Son of God is born in you. He is in you. Do you know that? He is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Holy Spirit fills you. Do you know about the filling of the Spirit? Do you know when you are in the Spirit? Do you know what it means when you have a new desire, a new love in your heart? Do you know that? Do you recognize it? Can you discern it? Do you realize that's the truth? I want that, and that's a lie. And I recognize the difference. I was soul winning at the farmer's market with the brothers in Elgin, and this man was on the sidewalk, and He was waiting for his wife, young guy, maybe 30 years old or so, or 35. And he said, you know, we started to talk, and I warned him. I said, when I'm talking to you, I don't want you to end the conversation. My words might be sharp, but I don't intend. I want to learn something from you. And he said, oh, yeah, that's fine. Let's just talk. So we had a talk. And he said, you know, my brother's homosexual, and he has a friend who's a homosexual, one of his former partners. And he said, he's a good man, and he wanted to be in the Catholic Church as a priest, and the church would not accept him. And he said, but he's a good man, and he does good things for the community and so on. And he said, so the church doesn't receive him. And I said, yes, I understand that. And he said, is that right? I go, yeah, it is. In my mind, it is. That's right. Is he perverted? Is his sexual orientation wrong? Could he be a pedophile? And on it goes. And, of course, those are sharp words. But what's my point in my communication? It is not only he has a problem, but you and I have. We have a sin nature. But when you are born of God, the Spirit of God comes in you. You begin to understand these things. A good man is not what this life is about. It's about Christ. And no one is good. No, not any. And the human race hates to think about that. They hate to hear that. Man is good, you know, generally good. The problem is with the economy or the food distribution or the mother or the father or the education or if society is wrong and that men are actually good. This is saying something else to us. No, it's the human heart. But not only the human heart of the unbeliever, but the human heart of the believer who has the sin nature and can think the same way as an unbeliever. As a believer, I mean, it's a horrible thing that a pastor would steal money from the church. How could that happen? Because of his sin nature. It's a horrible thing that a pastor or a leader in a church would be immoral. How could that happen? It's called the sin nature. Well, how could the sin nature be operating in the life of a leader? Because we are told that we have our sin nature as long as we have our more mortal body. We have a sin nature. But the difference is, how does a man cleanse his way? But by giving heed to his word. The word is able to change me. Feed me and build me up in my new nature. This is the point of a Spirit-filled life, the point of a victorious life, the point of a satisfying life. A sinful life is miserable. It's miserable hiding and cheating and lying and not being honest with God and coming to God and bringing my life before God and making my confession, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and the Word of God cleanses us from those thoughts that are of my sin nature, and giving me God's thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let's finish close pretty quickly with this text here. We will not teach it now, but I want you to get to a couple points in verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they practice deceit. So we have thoughts, now we have words. The poison of asp is under their lips. This is a poisonous, venomous snake. It's in the mouth. Have you seen it or heard it from people? Horrible things that are said, skillful things that are said, deceitful things, divisive things that are said from the human heart, sharp, smooth, very clever words of communication, very capable to be very good propaganda, skillfully designed articles from writers and books and movies, and placed sentences that are perfectly placed and may be repeated for 100 years, a phrase that just hits the target and is repeated. Many expressions of the sin nature that the meaning of this text here. How sharp they can be. How we can talk to each other. What happens with us because of our sin nature. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Job's wife said, curse God and die. His wife said that. The devil threw everything at Job, everything he had, except he couldn't take his life. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now comes action, murder. Destruction and misery are in their ways. So you have horrible things that follow in the wake of their murder. You think of the horrible killing machines of genocide, the horrible murderous mindset of people seeking revenge. Horrible, miserable, destructive, the way of peace they have not known. Even a peaceful family, you have a peaceful family, and then you put in there the sin nature talking. And that sin nature is so destructive, and the misery that comes in a family or in a church family or, you know, with a group of people, what the misery and destructive power of the tongue that is not God's mind. They do not know it, so they are destructive. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the primary problem with this diagram up here, with this person. There is no fear of God. No fear of God. It's about them. It's me. This one is, you fear God, give it to God, relate to God, hear from God, trust God, obey God, obey God, obey Him, and He will work in you and give you His thoughts and direct your ways. He will fill you, He will give you, He will teach you, you will walk with God. This is what you want. Doesn't matter who you are. This is not hyper-spiritual. This is not extraordinarily beyond us. No, this is in us, in our heart, in our mouth. This is our new life. This is learning the scripture, meditating on it, embracing it, believing it, and saying it. This is the world of faith. We say it by faith. I was at the church in Chicago yesterday, and near the church, two streets down, is an adult facility for disabled adults. And there are maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 or 14 of these people that come to the church. And they are disabled in different ways, and on medications, and they have an overseer. And I was with them yesterday, and they're in the church and so on, and I heard this story on one of them, and this woman, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart, and she started reading Dr. Stevens's doctrine booklets, and Pastor Harry told me, he said she read every one of Dr. Stevens' booklets, and it changed her life. And the overseer of the home said, Pastor Jack, what have you done with this woman? She has changed. What have you done? And he said, I haven't done anything. God has changed. God has affected that woman's mind. and her heart. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you know what? I might have my limitations, but the new birth is real. And that Holy Spirit and the new heart, and He uses what we have. And we have another life. And what does it say? Commit your ways to the Lord, and He will direct your thoughts. And you always say, how did my life be? So how was it successful? I say, God did that through the new birth. Wait, what do you mean successful? I don't know. I'm satisfied. My life is not misery. It's satisfaction. It's not destruction. It's edification. It's not about me, it's about Him. And He is glorified in it, and Christ came into the world to show us this, and it gets hijacked by us believing subtly somehow that it's about me. I got this down as a Christian. I go through my drill. I read my Bible a little bit. I say my prayers. I'm a pretty good person. And that's how I live my life. And God is saying, no. No, this is more than that. No, that's, you know, I don't care about your religion. I want you to commit your heart. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe me. I want you to embrace me and what I say. I don't need you to be a hearer only. I need you to be a doer. That's the last part. Turn to James, and we'll finish with that. Just to look at it. Verse chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. This is the New King James Version. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. This is our sin nature, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Mind renewal. Freshness in God. Stay fresh in God. Some of us leaders, we lose our passion, our desire. Some of us leaders, we lose our love. We lose our love. Some of us leaders may go through the motion of leading or pastoring or caring for people, but I have a blessing in my life. I was never trained like as a program. I praise you, Lord. I didn't learn in this church to go through the drill. I don't go through the drill. I don't have a drill. I don't have it. You and I don't. As a sinner, I haven't learned to be a Christian. As a sinner, I've simply learned how bad I am and how much I need in my heart a love relationship with truth, to love it, embrace it, believe it. And it says here, obey it, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Yeah. Sometimes I know it, I know it, I know it. I don't need no more. I know it, I know it. I need God, Lord. I need you. I need your spirit to fill me. I need you. I don't need to read another book about it. I know enough. It's not about my knowledge, it's more about what's in my heart. And the Lord says, can you trust me and be a doer and just do it and be humble and just do it and just do it? And you know, as you do it, as we commit our ways to the Lord like this diagram, and He directs our thoughts, we can stay fresh. And Jesus is precious to us again. Like Jesus is the fairest of 10,000. Like Jesus is altogether lovely. Jesus is the one that I miss. I miss Jesus. I need Jesus again and again. I need to find Jesus. I want Jesus again. That's what I'm missing. I got my stuff and my problems and everything, but I don't need that. I need Jesus again. How about a bad marriage? Like, Pastor, could you help me solve my marriage problem? It's like, wait a minute. Maybe that's part of what you, but what about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you had Jesus? Has Jesus been around? Yeah, I know all about that. I know it, but fix my marriage. Maybe he will. I don't know. But I think that this is worthwhile saying today. You might be a great guy, not enough. You might have, you know, a lot of stuff going on, but no, God's not impressed. He wants our hearts. And if we could live like this, it says, he that believes will not be ashamed. That somehow, if we could be not a hearer only, but a doer, and then the Lord will give back to us and satisfy us, and we'll be in this world to make a difference. We will not fix it, that will be in the world pointing to Jesus. We will not fix this world. I'll not fix people's problems. I do not know how to do that. I don't know what that is about. I do not know the answer to that particular problem, but we know who is the one that is crying out and saying, turn unto me and learn of me. And have the church life part of your life. And have your Bible as an open book. And have a prayer of faith and walk in the Holy Spirit, and may God help all of us. Amen. So, Lord, maybe your word, which is the point today, could speak deeply to us, and we accept the truth that our thoughts are not yours, but then that great truth of grace that you gave us your Son so that we could live in a different way and help others find you and know you. And we pray you would use our Bible over and over again as a tool, as the very word of God to cleanse our way and change our lives and live for your glory and purpose. Anyone here, you're making a confession to God in your heart and say to the Lord in your heart, your own way, Lord, I need this. I need you. And guide and teach me in Jesus' name. Amen.